If you have your Bibles this morning, we're turning to Matthew 25, Matthew chapter 25. We're at the end of our stewardship drive. The month of August is our stewardship month, where we try to pray and ask the Lord to lead us and guide us as a church as far as our money, and asking the Lord to lay in our hearts what we should give. And then starting next week, we kind of switch gears and we're out of stewardship and into serving, into soul winning. And so we're going to try to tie both of these ideas together in Matthew chapter 25. But I looked up a couple of things as far as giving or giving to the church, and I found a couple of humorous stories that I thought were fitting. There's a guy that was telling the preacher, I'm going to start gambling, but if I win, I'll give it all to the church. He was kind of on death's door, and he thought, hey, forget it. You know what I mean? I know the preacher preaches against it, but and I'm sure he wouldn't be mad at me if I win, and I'm going to die anyway, so I might as well just try to go for it. So he started gambling. He was very, very sick. And he was hoping in his last days he would finally win big, get the big check. And, well, he did. He won. And he won big, but he also got better, got healthy. And so it was a few months later, and the preacher came by his house, and he says, hey, what happened to the money? You said you won big, and remember you said you would, you know, give it a bunch to the church? And the man said, oh, man, you know how sick I was. And I was so sick, I couldn't even remember what I was saying. And so he let that go. And then there was two men that crashed their private plane on a South Pacific island. And one of the men just brushed himself off and started running around the island to see if there was any chance of survival. And when he returned, he was just screaming. And he was saying, this island is uninhabited. He said, there's no food, there's no water. And he just was stirring himself up into a frenzy. He says, we're all going to die. And the other man just kind of leaned back against the plane wreck. He was like, he says, no, we're not. It's like, we're going to die. And the other guy was just leaning there. He's like, no, we're not. He says, I make $100,000 a week. The other man just got mad. He was just getting more frenzied. And he kept on jumping around. Then he'd run away again, come back. And he'd start screaming at the guy. The guy was just sitting there. And the guy would scream, yell. He's like, we're going to die! Don't you understand? And the guy would just look at him. He's like, nah, make $100,000 a week. No, we're not. He said, you don't understand. We're on an island. It doesn't matter how much you make a week. You're not making it anymore. We're going to die. The man finally looked at him. He says, don't make me say this again. I make over $100,000 a week, and I tithe 10%. My pastor will find me. Okay. So we are going to look at giving. Okay? And no matter what you give, the point of the story is we will find you. No. We are going to look at Matthew 25 and the parable of the talents. Matthew 25, the parable of the talents. We're going to look at verse 14. For the kingdom, Matthew 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his own goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. Notice the phrase, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway he took his journey. And then it goes through and it talks about the different things that he as far as how they did things. But look at down And verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. So let's ask the Lord to bless as we think about this morning. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this opportunity to come together. Lord, we know that there are some guests here. There's others that maybe someone invited them out, and they're just coming and looking around. But others, Lord, we've been thinking about this topic for a while, this idea of stewardship and what is ours. Lord, we would ask that you would help us all to concentrate on the Word of God. And Lord, as always, I ask you to do what I can't, and that is to speak to hearts. And Lord, that you would deal with us and make us a better people. Make us a giving people, people like Christ. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. In our passage here, let's think of some of the context. In Matthew chapter 24, if you have a Bible that has some markings on it, you'll see that Matthew chapter 24, Jesus is talking about the end times. At the beginning of chapter 24, he's giving some signs of the end times. All right, notice in verse 7, he says, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. He goes through a bunch of things, and then in verse 15, it says, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in thy holy place. And then the idea is that the return of Christ is imminent, that Jesus Christ is going to return soon, and so we need to be preparing. And so then in chapter 25, Jesus gives three parables that kind of relate back to chapter 24. The first one, in the first part of chapter 25, is the parable of the 10 virgins, and those, he talks about, he's going to come. And remember that some had oil and some did not have oil. And the ones that did not have oil came to the ones that did and said, hey, give us some of it. And they said, no. And they went away. And while they were away, the master came. The idea that we don't know when Jesus is going to come, but guess what you should be doing? Verse 13 tells us, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Then after the parable we talked about, the parable of the talents, you have the parable of the sheep and the goats. And the parable of the sheep and the goats is that they're, in some ways, it could be talking about a congregation. It could be talking about a church. And that it's hard to discern the sheep and the goats. Okay? And it tells, again, he's saying that we should be ready, discerning. So he's talking about preparing for the end. Preparing that the last days, Jesus is going to return. And then in the middle of it, he gives us a parable of the talents. The parable of the talents here, I want us to consider it in regards to three things. So as we're talking about the parable of the talents, we put T's to all of them. We want us to think about our time and our talents and our treasure. All three of those, let's think about them in regards to the parable of the talents, because Jesus has gone away and he's left us those three things. He's given us some time, he's given us some talents, he's given us some treasures. And someday, according to verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. So we have to understand as Christians, we got to understand that God someday is going to come, and we are going to, according to the Bible in Romans chapter 14, so then every one of us shall give an account. You go to the book of Corinthians, and we know that we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And the Bible is indicating to you and I that someday with our time and someday with our talents and someday with our treasures, we are going to stand and give an account of what God has given us. So we're going to look at the explanation, first of all, and we see it kind of divided up into three areas. We see the passage divided up, so let's look at those three. First, we see in verse 14, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." All right, so here we have, first of all, that the talents are committed to the servants. The talents are committed to the servants. And what's interesting to me in this passage is what you and I have as far as the time and the talents and the treasures. What you and I have is not ours, according to this passage. According to this, the master came and gave of his goods. He gave what was his. So what does that mean for you and I? All right, this was very usual in this era, that a master would have to go away on a long journey. And if you think of a couple thousand years ago, if you think of that era, if he was going to go away on a long journey, there could be lots of different things. He probably was going to create maybe a caravan that was going to go. Maybe he had some business in even another region. And so it could be months. It could be a year. It could be a year and a half. It could be a long period of time that this master was going, because travel was not very easy. So he was leaving this in their hands. But the things that I see is that the talents were committed to the servants. There was no doubt in the minds of these servants that the property and that this money belonged to the master. They were possessors, but not the owners. Their job was to manage what their owner had given to them. Just like in Psalm 24, the Bible says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." So here on this earth, as we live here, and we live as Christians on this earth, God owns it all. And in our minds, we have to understand that this, whether it's my pocketbook, whether it's my wallet, whether it's my cash, or whether it's my time, or whether it's something God has blessed me with, maybe it's some ability, some small thing that I'm able to do, it ultimately is God's. He gave it to me, and I'm a steward of it. The other interesting point here is that all were given a plentiful supply. All right, now I did a little bit of studying, and it's kind of hard sometimes when you take this idea of a talent and you take some biblical things that can't be exact all the time. And most of the commentators are in the 1700s and 1800s, and they're talking about it. And their information is not necessarily our information. And most of the commentators lived in England, right? And so they're talking about pounds and all this different thing. So I tried to just figure out, and I went with gold. All right, now, it doesn't, if you look in the passage, it doesn't say if it was gold or silver. It doesn't necessarily say, but I just went with gold, and I thought, okay, so what would it be if one guy got 5 talents of gold, one guy got 2 talents of gold, and one got one? That one, I mean, man, he got 5. I'm a loser. Well, look at, in gold, gold right now, as of Thursday morning, if you were wondering, was $14.28 an ounce. Okay? 1 talent is 1,200 ounces. So the 1 talent person, I believe, in gold would have gotten, if my math, again, sometimes it could be off, but if I figured it right, the 1 talent person in gold would have received $1.7 million. It's all right. It's all right. Not bad. It's okay. I mean, I take 1 talent. Just give me one. All right. I'll just take one. All right, so what does that tell us, though? The Lord of the house gave everybody ample, didn't he? Because some people think, well, yeah, I mean, he gave this guy five and this guy two and this guy one. I mean, that guy really must have been a loser. No, he gave him enough. I mean, 1.7 million, that's not good enough for you? Everybody had enough to live, to work with. And this is what you and I have to understand. I shouldn't be looking around saying, well, man, I wish I had what they had. God gave you exactly what you need. He wasn't, and God cares about all of us, but he knows what we can handle. And so some he may give one, some he may give two, but some he gives five. So that's one, the talents were committed to the servants. But notice next that in verse 16 kind of down through about 20-something, 22, 23, we see that the talents not only were committed, but now the talents were managed by the servants. All right? We see that the one man, he got five talents, and he, we know what happened. What did he do? Wow. All right, maybe, Dean, I say we go to 59 degrees. What do you think? 59 degrees, all right, if you're not going to talk, you will shake and rattle. No, all right, but so the five-talent person gained how much? Five. All right, the two-talent, what did he gain? Two. That was his job. They were there to manage, and there was a different approach, though, in verse 18. But he that received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. So here we have a different approach. The man who received one talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, hid his master's money. We don't read a lot about the instructions. All right, the first two guys went to work, multiplied their investment. The one talent guy, though, if we're reading it correctly, it doesn't tell us all the instruction that the Lord of this house gave, but they were supposed to do something. They were supposed to manage it. And the one talent guy was a slacker. He was lazy. He went off, buried his blessing. And the practice, just so you know, the practice of burying valuables was kind of common in that day and age. Some people would do that. But that's not what the Lord of the house was expecting. But it's interesting to notice what they were given revealed what they thought of their master. And that to me it was interesting seeing that. Because here, the five-talent guy got five talents and he went right to work. And it says a little more about the five-talent guy. All right, I'm sorry, I just got a little... I was thinking of food, and I was thinking of five guys. They're right there. All right, back to five talents, not five guys. All right. All of us are hungry now, saliva dripping. All right, back to the text here. All right, the five talents, not burgers. All right, talent. All right. But the five-talent guy, all right, it gives us a little more detail. He worked a little bit with it. And the two-talent guy worked at it. But notice, it gives us some information, a lot more information about the one talent guy, and it reveals to us what he thought of his Lord. And what you do with what you have reveals what you think about God. Because what did this one talent guy think of his Lord? Notice what he said. Then he which had received one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man. You know what reveals to you? Some of you, this is what happens. Stewardship month comes. Or now, next month, we could call it service month. And so stewardship month and service month. And you think, you know what? They just ask a lot. They want me to give my money. And now they want me to give my time. When are they going to stop? Never. Oh, right. That wasn't in the notes, all right?
When are they going to stop? They just keep asking. You know what?
You reveal what you think of our church.
You reveal what you think of God, because when God touches your heart, you say, man, what do I got to give some more?
You think God is a hard taskmaster.
You think he's asking too much of you. Maybe it's time. Maybe it's time and God touches your heart and says, hey, why don't you go soul winning? Why don't you witness to this neighbor? Why don't you invite these people out? Hey, I want you in a nursing home to go out there. And really, you don't get any praise or accolades by going to a nursing home. Did you know that? All right? Especially in our church. All right? You're not going to get praise and accolades for going out visiting on the bus route. Because what does the Bible say? When we have done our best in all that we're supposed to,
we have just done that which was our duty. But some of you, your hands are so tight around that treasure, so tight around that time, it's mine! And guess what? It reveals what you think about God. It shows. You see, this faithful servants received some, they received a well done by God. They received a promotion. There was celebration. And there wasn't that for the one talent. A faulty view of God can lead to excuses. A faulty view of God leads to excuses. Notice, thirdly, as far as the explanation of the passage, you notice in verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of the host, a Lord of those servants, cometh and reckoneth with them. So we said that the talents were committed, then they're managed, and now the talents are accounted for. Okay, talents are accounted for. I read a story about a little boy, and he was given the assignment of planting a seed. His project was to plant the seed, take it home, and that way he could watch it develop and grow. He placed it in the windowsill of the kitchen. He brought it home and it was buried there, and he placed it in the windowsill of the kitchen. And then the next morning, right out of bed. Normally he wasn't that way. But he jumped right out of bed, went sprinting down the steps, went over. Nothing there. The next day, not as fast out of bed, ran straight down. Nothing there. Finally, he was just fed up. He called his mom. He said, Mom, I don't know what the deal is with that plant, but there is something wrong. Because it ain't growing yet. Now, we all laugh. All right, but the same thing is true with what God has given us. He's given you time, talents, and treasures. And because God waits a little bit as far as his accounting, okay, sometimes maybe God has given us some things and we give it to the church and say, wait, where are the millions? I gave my money. Where are the millions? Well, you know what? Someday, God is coming, and you'll give an account. It's not going to be right now. It may be tomorrow. Some people, all right, we talked about Mrs. Pat Martin. Mrs. Pat Martin now is in heaven. Now, I don't think it's going to be right now. I believe it's later when we're not getting into eschatology. But I don't believe the judgment seat is right now as soon as you die and go to heaven. But someday, when we're in heaven, we're going to stand before an almighty God, and the time, talents, and treasures that we were given, we will give an account. Because someday, we will give an account. It may not be tomorrow, and that sometimes hurts us, doesn't it? Because the Lord of the house delayed and maybe went on a long journey, sometimes it makes us lackadaisical. Sometimes it makes us say, oh, I can give tomorrow. I can give my time tomorrow. I can give of my treasures tomorrow. I can give of those things tomorrow. But I'm telling you, someday you will answer to the Lord, because the talents will be accounted for. So there's three applications then. as we close. Three applications. We looked at the passage. We understand it, I believe. So what are some applications to our lives? And we're going to do them all individually. All individually, because now we've been thinking about time, and we've been thinking about talents, and we've been thinking about treasure, and saying, okay, here there was talents distributed. There was enough for them. Enough even for the one talent to take care of the needs. Enough so that he could reproduce, he could do something with it. So what do we see? Well, the first thing I see is individual responsibility. The one talent guy was not required to do something that the two talent guy had. Notice the two talent guy, all he did was reproduce two. And he was told, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The five talent guy, he got five, but the two talent guy, he wasn't required to get five. The Lord of the house didn't come, and the guy had two. Now, it could have been that the one talent guy, all he had to do was get a half. We don't know what all was required. But what we do know is the Lord of the house wanted him to do something with it. There's individual responsibility. Your job is not to sit next or to account for the person next to you in the pew and say, well, what are you doing? No, no, no. It's what are you doing? It's myself. I will give an account. And all of us can have a part. To me, it's interesting sometimes how God ties things together. Remember, Mr. Goss had one mite. A widow's mite. And remember, the lady gave two? I have no idea who the rich men were. None of us do. But when we think of giving, many of us always think of that widow and her mite. For generations, hundreds, thousands of years, guess what? She was individually responsible for what she had. She only had two mites. All right? All those other people, all those rich people, they say, well, wait a minute. We gave so much. We're not saying that you got to give all this amount. It doesn't matter what age you are. Preachers talked about that as far as himself growing up and that his parents taught him to give. All right, here's a dollar, and you get it, you break it into dimes, and it's laid out there, and you say, all right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, all right, all this, God lets you keep. But this one dime belongs to you. It's so easy. So guess what? Even as a young child, what is your responsibility? Individual responsibility. What God has given you, you give to God what he tells you to give. We know that the tithe belongs to the Lord, but has he asked you for a little more? You'd say, well, man, that's kind of mean. You're asking 6 and 7 and 8-year-olds. Yes, because guess what? God requires of all of us individually to give to him. And when we can understand that, when we can apprehend it, God wants us to give. There's a man, some of us know him, his name was Antonio. His voice was very high, squeaky, like some of yours. He did not make the tryouts for the boys' choir. So they said, ah, get out of here. So then he thought, well, I'll take violin lessons. The neighbors, hearing him, persuaded his parents to make him stop. Yet Antonio still wanted to make music. His friends gave him a hard time because his only talent was whittling. All right? And it was just a very whittle. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. All right? It was a very whittle talent. All right, that's a little joke there, but all he could do was whittle. When Antonio was older, he served as an apprentice to a violin maker. His knack for whittling grew into a skill of carving, and his hobby became his craft. He worked patiently and faithfully, and by the time he died, Antonio Stradivarius made 1,500 violins.
The cheapest, I think, today being well over $100,000. I know there's some Stradivariuses that are well over $6 million. All right, Antonio Stradivarius, what did he was individually responsible for what he was given. And what was that? All right, he couldn't sing. He couldn't play a violin. But he found he could make them. And you know what? You're individually responsible. I don't know what you can do. All right, maybe you can't sing. Maybe you can't play an instrument. Maybe you can't. You have this whole list, but I'm telling you, God has given you some ability. It may be showing up. It may be, I've thought of this with some of our elderly, and you say, you know what? I'm getting old and feeble. I can't do much anymore. But you know what you can do? You can get a prayer sheet. And you can pray for our Jolly 60s ministry. Maybe you can't, it's hard for you to get there. But then on Saturdays, you can go through and, hey, we can give you a list. And you can pray for our bus captains. You can pray for all the nursing homes. You know what? There is something you can do. You can call out to God in prayer. You see, all of us have an ability. We can do something. We are individually responsible. Secondly, we are individually accountable. When we look at this parable, we should be encouraged because the Lord of the servants was not comparing one to another. God does not expect me to give maybe what somebody else gives. No, he lays on my heart what I should give. And then I'm not accountable for your giving. I'm accountable for my giving. And I love that. Some people look at that as a negative. Some people always say like, oh boy, I don't understand, I'm accountable. But you know what? You're not. You're only accountable for what God gave you. And that should encourage you. You say, well, I can't get up and teach, and I can't get up and preach. Well, I'm not asking about those things. And you may say, I don't have a lot of money. Well, God's not maybe asking a lot. He's asking for what he lays on your heart. And then you're accountable for it. But then the last one, and I like this, I'm not only individually responsible and accountable, but I'm individually profitable. Now, what do you say? Well, what is that? I mean, well, look at the results of the first two servants. I think it should be encouraging because the results is the parable is telling us no matter what we have, we can be profitable. No matter what I have, I can be in service for the Lord. No matter what I have, I don't have anything. Oh, no, 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 don't say that. Because then you're saying that God just left you empty. God didn't give me anything. I think you're getting that attitude of that one talent person. It's showing what you think of our Lord. And you know what I think of my Lord? He gave me so much. He's given me so much things, and I'm not talking about ability and treasures. I'm just talking about that everything is his, and he gave it to me. And I should be whole, so happy that I can do something for him, and it doesn't matter, like we said, what anybody else has been given or what somebody else has been, what they're doing. What it matters is what God deals with me on because he deals with each of us individually. And individually, we can be profitable. In this passage, we see that God will not judge merely for doing wrong, but for not doing right. And so as we close and we're thinking of this stewardship, what has God been dealing with you on? And then we're coming into a time of service. What has God been touching your heart about? Oh, they're asking too much. Oh, here we come. Preacher gets up again and he's saying it's the busiest time and it's so exciting. I don't know how he could be excited. Well, I wouldn't be excited around you either. We're excited to leave away from you. That's why we're excited. No, I'm just kidding. I read of a story. We were talking about it this week, and I thought it fit really well.
In closing, let's look at Proverbs chapter 11, and we're going to close with two verses. Proverbs 11, verse 24 and 25, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. In family devotions this week, we were reading a story. And there was a mom, her name's Mrs. Miller. And she tells a story to illustrate these two verses, and I thought it was fitting. She talks about when she was a little girl. When she was a little girl, her parents were missionaries to Costa Rica. And down in Costa Rica, and this was many, many, many years ago, decades ago, they didn't have a lot of things. They didn't have a lot of the foods and a lot of the niceties, the novelties as far as foods that we take advantage here in the States. And so the grandparents, this little girl, Mrs. Miller, her grandparents were coming down to visit. They landed, and they were all excited, all the kids. They went to the house, and the grandparents had brought all kinds of gifts. And one of the gifts was a Hershey's chocolate bar for every child. Oh, they were excited. And so that Hershey's chocolate bar, they grabbed it. And Mrs. Miller said that as they were taking them, she took just a little bit. And then she had a thought. Oh. And she ran away into her room, opened up her dresser, folded it, and stuck it underneath the clothes. She had a sister named Mandy. And Mandy was, she was always giving. And so they all ate some. And within a few days, most of the other kids, their Hershey bar was gone. And she was thinking, ha, mine is safely tucked away. And so the grandparents, after a week or so, left. And everybody was kind of depressed. And Mandy had an idea. She came and she got the chocolate bar and she split it up and gave everybody a little piece. And Mrs. Miller said she even gave me one. And I thought, that is stupid. Giving away that but mine, safely tucked away. Then a few days later, one of the little brothers was riding his bike, fell down, and he hurt himself. And Mandy came over, and she thought, oh, there's nothing that brings healing to the soul more than chocolate. And so she came and brought the last little piece to her little brother, and she thought, unbelievable. She just wasted all of it. It's all gone. Unbelievable. But that's Mandy. She's the generous sort. But I have mine. A few weeks went by, and then she remembered, oh, I'm savoring this. And she went alone into her room, opened up the drawer, picked up the clothing, and looked down, and there was that foil. She reached down and grabbed it, and it was kind of empty. She picked it up, except it wasn't all empty. There was a whole group of ants, sugar ants, that had come in, and there was just some slimy residue left. She's like, ow! And she said she remembers Mrs. Miller standing there in her room alone, crying. Nobody was there to comfort her. Why? Because nobody knew. And she said a few weeks later, Mom and Dad went into town or to go shopping, and they came back, and all the kids were doing their chores. And Mom and Dad came in, and they said, hey, and they were whispering. They said, Mandy, Mandy, come here. All the kids were like, ooh, what's going on? And Mom and Dad pulled out a brown paper bag, and it had a whole bunch of chocolates. They said, Mandy, we saw that you gave to all the other kids. You didn't have a lot left over. So while we were in town, we found some little chocolates, and we thought you'd like them. You know what Mrs. Miller said? She said, Mandy turned around and said, "Hey, everybody, I got some chocolates. Let's share." She said, this verse came so alive to her. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than is meat, but it tendeth to what? Poverty. She said she learned in that situation that giving is always better. And in your life, this is what you will find. When it comes to your time, when it comes to your talents, when it comes to your treasure, giving is always better. Giving is always better when it comes to time because God blesses. Giving is always better when it comes to our finances too. Why? Because you know what? God always seems to meet the need. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. God this morning may have dealt with your heart. It could be in the area of money, but it could be in the area of service. It could be that God has been dealing with you in this area of service and, you know, that people have been asking you to do something and you've just been kind of gripey, bitter. Ask God to tug at your heart. God's saying, hey, I've given you something. It was all mine and I gave it to you. And he's just asking for a little bit. The Bible says it is more blessed to give than to receive. Oh, some of you may have felt this way for a long time. God has been knocking on your door all month. Why not let him come in and clean up your heart and give God the first fruits of your time, talents, and treasure? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. Pray that you would bless the invitation time. Lord, we would ask, Lord, as you deal with hearts, you'd help us to consider what you'd want us to do. Lord, not just with our finances. Lord, we're coming into a time where we want to just serve you more. Lord, help us not to be greedy with what you've been given us. Well, thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Standing with heads bowed and eyes closed, there are men down front. If you need to talk to one of them, they can help direct you, but the altar is open and you can just come and pray. If God has dealt with your heart, you come and deal with him as the instruments play.
Lord, what an important matter this is, this matter of giving, Lord, not just of money, but of our time and of our energy, Lord, as you've given so much for us. And Lord, as we do have this stewardship banquet, Lord, we just pray that each one of us will have been in prayer, seeking your will, Lord, for our giving. Lord, we just pray you deal with each of our hearts. And Lord, not just with our giving of our money, but of our time, Lord, deal in our hearts about this fall push time, Lord, that we're inviting people out and that we're praying that we might see you really work, that we might see changes in our lives. Lord, we know that you bless giving. We know, Lord, that we can't outgive you. And Lord, we just pray that each of us would take this message we've heard and apply it to our hearts, Lord, that we might just have the joy of seeing you work in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.